Hey, everybody, welcome back to Board the Podcast. I'm Moose Lundstrom.
And I'm Adam Vokey.
What's up, Mr. Vokey?
Not a lot.
Where we at, dude?
We are in the bowels of the Brush Emporium.
The bowels of the Brush Emporium.
Bullhucker Studios.
Bullhucker Studio, man. We say bowels of the Emporium really carefully because when I put it on Facebook and it auto captions it, it sounds like we're saying the balls of the Emporium, and that's not at all what we're about. So, this is going to be a fun episode. Let me tell you why. This has already happened, by the way. Obviously, you've seen it. But this weekend, we've had a show, a comedy show, a back-to-back shows. I've never done that.
Yep, an early and a late.
An early and a late show. One of the local guys is coming back. Mm-hmm. He grew up in Brush, Colorado. He's now in L.A. doing comedy. The first show sold out in 24 hours. We've never had that.
Insane.
Ever before. People were going crazy. So, luckily enough, he agreed before the show. He came down. He's going to do a little bullhucking with us today.
Looking forward to it. Yeah. It's been fun so far.
Yeah. Eric Rocha, how are you, my man?
Doing well, guys. Thank you for having me on the show.
It's so good to see you, dude.
It's a who's who, man. I was watching that Beltran episode. I was like, oh, my God. I was watching. Everyone's like, who the fuck is that? I go, no, you don't understand. This guy's a legend.
I mean, well, you played sports here.
Oh,
Brush,
yeah. So. I was like, I'm a beat digger. And like, what the fuck did you say? Like, oh, wait, no, digger. Like, yeah. No, sorry. Yeah.
You know, it happened to my mom and my uncle in Pueblo, Colorado. Mike Sinclair was a radio broadcaster on the side, did a lot of sports. He thought it was cool to meet somebody from Brush, Colorado, to meet a fucking beat digger. He thought that was awesome, right? So I called mom. She comes up to visit for my birthday one year, and her and Uncle Ed bring a bunch of beat digger gear, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Now, Mike's a big, stout black dude, right? The whole door staff was black, basically. So they walk in, he's like, diggers, baby! And they're like, diggers! And they're all stopping, like, listening, like... Like, what's being said right here? And Mike's all happy to be saying it. That's why they were all confused by it. But
you got to hit that D to start with R. Diggers! Yes.
You got to enunciate you from Mike.
Exactly. That's when you start talking shit about Wiggins. Yeah, but Wiggins, they don't even shake hands after they're done wrestling. They're pricks.
Did you wrestle?
Yeah, in middle school. I never did in high school.
Probably had no choice coming from the family.
Oh, after. Fuck no. They were like, well, do you want to wrestle your Uncle Barry or do you want to wrestle a, you know, depression at home when we make fun of you? Yeah. All right, come here, Uncle Bear. Yeah. Come here, you big fucker.
Or Gerard, I imagine, right?
RIP to Gerard, guys, quick. Yeah, if we can. Gerard was a ref and... We always used to make fun of him because he had that big old belly. So we'd say if he had to pin somebody, he had to pin him twice. Once for him to see it, and then when he would roll back to slap him out. Like, oh, come on, man. He's like rolling down. I think he's going to slap it. Somebody pick up his feet.
Poor Gerard.
Poor fucking wheelbarrow.
You know what sucks, too? The big one about Gerard. The way I found out, he was at the New Year's Eve show.
Oh, really?
A lot of your family came out. Yeah, they took up the whole back room. And Gerard, you know, he's screaming at me, please, some Def Leppard before the show. You know, he's calling out requests, you know. I said, all right, Gerard, we're going to go on here pretty quick. And at the end of the night, I said, you need to come on the podcast. He goes, give me a call. I'll be on there.
Oh, so, shit.
Yeah, I was going to look and see, because he'd have been fun. Did you know Gerard Flores?
No.
He's a guy who had no enemies, dude.
No, he really didn't.
Everybody loved Gerard.
It was annoying. That's why I was his enemy. No. He was, I mean... He was like the mayor. He would walk in, like, you'd go somewhere with him, and it'd be like, Gerard, shut up. Stop talking to people. Like, I'm hungry. Let's go. Oh, bud, you got to be mad, bud. And said, oh, it's fucking just. I remember one time I left him somewhere. And, where the fuck are you? I was like, oh, I'm in the car, dude.
I'm
yeah,
home.
Exactly.
Why?
Call an Uber, you prick.
I've been home for an hour and a half.
Ask one of the 100 people you talked to give you a ride.
I bet one of them saw me leave.
Really? Well, before we go any further ado, I want to say, hey, welcome to the Bullhucker Podcast. If you're new to the podcast, what we do is we bring on a guest. Today's Mr. Eric Rocha. Eric's going to tell us three stories about his life. Now, here's the kicker. Only two of them are true. One's either borrowed, halfway made up, or all the way made up. And at the end of the podcast, me and Mr. Vokey here are going to try and guess which one was bullshit. So we're not good at this, by the way. So you got a great chance. You got a great chance. You said you watched a few of these.
I have, yeah. Like I said, it's funny because it's... It is celebrity in a way because you're like, oh, my God, I know that person. I know them. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's Northern Colorado celebrity.
That's what
right? Right? People in L.A., where you're from now, it's like, the fuck, John Beltran.
Yeah. It is. It's funny because, like, yeah, the podcast has been like, okay, I've been lucky and I've gotten to do some great podcasts. And it's just like the ones, though, that if you looked at my phone, it's like friends,
yeah,
Joey, friend. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're just like, yeah, what I listen to on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is awesome.
Very cool. Well, it's awesome to have you here, man.
Thank you, guys.
I got a feeling this is going to be a pretty long one. So let's get started. You ready to tell some stories?
Right. Yeah, we're ready.
All right. You want to read them off, Luke?
I will. We've got Ripped Off, One for the Road, and Aunt Jenny.
Okay. All right. you want to pick one up, my man?
I will. I'll go with, I'll just start at the top. We'll go Ripped Off.
Ripped Off.
Ooh, okay. So this is probably the most graphic of all of them. It was when I first, like, moved around L.A. and you know, just hanging out. And I was partying pretty hard with some people. And one of these people was like, hey, let's stop and do some partying. It's like, okay. So this person was a huge cokehead. like big, hey, what? And you're like, gee, hey. Easy. Like, they'd come back from the bathroom and it'd look like powdered donuts and it'd be like, hey, dude, like, I like funnel cake too, but fucking clean up, man. Holy shit. So he goes, we're going to go to this barber shop. And I was like, this doesn't seem like, you know, yeah. So we go to this barber shop and it's like 2:33 in the morning. And it's me, this guy, and one of his buddies. And we get there, and this person, I can't really say their name.
We'll call him Frank.
Yeah, they're a musical entertainer that people would know. But anyways, kind of a pretty boy. And he comes up there, and he's like, hey, you think I could get my hair cut? And the guy was like, yeah, dog, but it's going to cost you $70. Because it's off hours.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. Absolutely. And in my head, I'm like, what confidence do you have? Like, and he goes, all right, so are we ready? Because if I call my guy, I want to make sure that we've got the money.
Right.
And he's like, yeah. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, oh, fuck, I really don't want to be here.
Yeah.
So guy shows up. And it was cold out. He's got a coat, kind of flicks his coat, and he's got a Glock. Which is weird, because why do you carry a... Yeah, so...
It's L.A., right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I mean. So he's getting his hair cut, again, just chattering away. And next thing you know, guy says, where's my money? And he says, oh, here, hang on. And he gives his other buddy that's with me his debit card. So he scatters off. He starts telling another story. And then the guy comes back with like 6 or 7 receipts, no money. And he's like, just cold. And he goes, it won't let me pull out money. And he goes, what? And he goes, yeah, the PIN that you gave me didn't work. And this dealer stands up and he goes, where's my money? And all of a sudden, I'll never forget this, the guy was lying to me. He shut off the fucking razor like I mean, half a fucking haircut, but I'm not even worried that this guy looks like an asshole. I'm like, that'll be the at least if we're found dead, you'll be like, I don't know why they did that to his fucking hair.
We're at 46.50. Do you at least have that?
So I'm freaking out, and the guy's like, "Well, I can totally." And he goes, "I don't give a shit what you can do; it's what you will do now."
Yeah.
And by the grace of God, I had just gotten my tax return, and I was like, "You know what?" I go, "Let me fix this situation." And he's like, "Okay." And he goes, "Rui, go with him." So they sent somebody with me to go to this ATM. Pull out the money, okay? And the guy's like, hey, man, I respect you. And I'm like, thank you very much. Yeah. Trying to be like, hard. Yeah, don't worry about it. So I give him the money, They go in, and I'm looking across the street, and there's a car, and it's watching the barber shop.
Right.
And then there's a car to the side of the barber shop too. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Like, what kind of
there's
car?
An, yeah, and there's an ember of a cigarette in the car across the street. So I'm wondering what the fuck is going on here. So I walk back in, and he slaps the money. He finishes the fucking haircut, right?
Yeah.
So finishes the haircut, and then he goes, okay, your boy can hang out outside, but I need to talk to you. Let's go in here. So they go into this back room, and I'm outside, and I'm like, fuck, what is going on? And there's a part of me that's just like, go, leave, walk away now, leave. And then I hear a cop siren, like, from a distance.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, shit. Because then I think to myself, you just bought cocaine.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? You just purchased drugs.
You're an accessory.
Exactly. And I'm like, oh, my God. And that cop car is coming down the street. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And in my head, I'm like, oh, this is the end. Like, this.
Yeah.
I just paid for a haircut.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck. Yeah. I know that's what I was going to tell him, too. Yeah. But then, fucking, yeah, it's just hair. And they're like, yeah, they're going to believe that asshole. Like,
as he's talking about a minute. He's just talking about
a minute. No, man.
Like the Micro Machines guy from back in the day. Yeah.
Cuffs sold separately. Yeah. So then I start thinking, I'm like, they don't want you. Right. And in my head, I'm like, I don't know what's that. Car just drives off. It was a cop car. He and again, it was like, oh, thank God. Wow. So that was really, like, no, like, maybe 1 second after, car drives by, he comes out. And he's like, we ready? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so we get back to his place, and I'm like, hey, dude, you fucking owe me. You owe me for what? And he's like, what are you talking about? And he goes, we chalked it up as, what do you call it? Like a beauty session where they did a consultation and they cut his hair. And so what happened was that guy took my money and then he charged Dickhead for that money too. So they got essentially money from both of us.
Oh, shit.
And then told us, fuck you. Well,
what are you gonna do? What are you going
to
do?
Exactly. What are you going to go to the cops?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah. And that was how we got ripped off for coke that I was like, yeah, I don't want any of that shit, but you fucking owe me money.
Yeah, yeah.
And like I said, I don't talk to that guy ever. Like, you know, that's kind of the end of it, like, now. But it was just like, it was a beautiful story of like, well, that's why you don't do drugs, kids. It's because just getting them isn't fucking easy anymore. Yeah. And it makes me think of like Mean Streets and all that other shit where like they just pick on the new guys or they're like, yeah, give us some money. We'll give you guys some fireworks. You guys are going to buy some fireworks.
Right.
Like,
right.
Okay. Well, here's 50.
Yeah.
We're going to get a lot of fireworks, guys.
Yeah.
You're fucking counting your money laughing.
It's nowhere close to the same kind of story, but I was in high school with a buddy of mine, and we were at a party, and we ran out of booze. So everybody pitched in. My buddy swears he could buy at this liquor store in town. So I go with him. Everybody's cash with us. We go in there. We put all the shit on the counter. The guy rings it up, asks for the money. My buddy gives him the money. The guy takes the cash. He goes, you got your ID on you?
Oh, shit.
And we're like, oh, it's we don't, you know, I'm 17, 18, I don't even know. He's like, go get it. And my buddy's like, let's take our money. He goes, nah, go get your ID. What are we going to do? Call the cops? Say the guy robbed us. We were trying to buy underage, you know? So we had to go back to that party and tell everybody what happened. And it wasn't good.
I'll be writing the Better Business Bureau, sir.
When I worked in Goodland, there was this old guy that I worked with, and he was telling me that when him and his wife started dating, she was a bartender. And he'd go in after work and sit at the end of the bar, and she'd, like, you know, help these guys. And this one guy started coming in almost every day. And at some point, he'd say, so, when are you going to fuck me? And she's like, I'm not. And this went on for days. And finally, he goes, so, honey, when are you going to fuck me? She's like, all right, fine, $100. He's like, okay. He puts $100.
Oh, shit.
He puts $100 on the bar. She takes it, sticks it in her bra, goes, now get the fuck out of here. And he goes, you said you were going to fuck me. She goes, I just did. Now get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's good thinking right there.
You know why the guy did that? Do you know why that guy did that? Because somewhere eventually that had worked at one point in time.
Well, absolutely. Sure, you know? Absolutely.
I mean, he's probably lost a few $100 on that kind of stuff. Yeah. But he's also probably scored some ass.
I was going to say, yeah.
Hey, you know? I have the pickup line, "My shoes want to fuck work" one time. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Mom. I found out my mom listens to this. I got to be careful what I say.
Janice.
Yeah, never mind that cocaine story. God, you're a terrible person.
Yeah. But she's like, I didn't raise the brown one.
I was going to say, my mom don't know you.
Thank God, she just said.
I don't know. That's a pretty rough one.
Oddly enough, we have plenty more tickets on set. 50 people just gave them back.
Good thing this comes out after, huh?
Oh, man.
No, just kidding.
You want to know why? Because we just fucked you. What did you think of that one, Bill?
That was a good story. I like that.
That's a perfect L.A. story, I would think. You know, that's
For sure.
I like it. How long have you been in L.A. for, Eric?
Now it's been about just over 13 years.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah. Wow.
Did you start in New York? You did.
So, yeah, I from 18, I moved to New York, and then after 4 years there, I moved to California. I came here for about 2 years just to save up, and then moved to California.
That's awesome.
Los Angeles, man. Yeah.
You're liking it. You're loving it, though.
Oh, dude, I adore it. It's weird. Like here, I sent my mom to home plate, and I was like, get food. And she's like, okay, well, I was like, no, because I'm going to be hungry late, and there's nothing open.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
the cafe at 7-Eleven, like, that's the only fucking thing that's open.
Yeah, we close the town at like 6 o'clock, so.
And I mean, I love it here. It's just.
Yeah. It's a completely different place from where you live.
I don't get how I got so fat here when there's nothing open past 8. What the fuck was going on?
I did because I took advantage of before 8.
I was going to say, it's called preemptive ordering.
Yeah.
It's planned fat.
You apparently still remember how to do that because you sent your mom on a mission.
I know, right?
Did you work in the kitchen at Ebenezer when you were in high school?
I did. There Holy you go, shit. Man. Oh, my God. Yeah. See, you got my resume. This feels unnerving.
Well, I know because Tish Perez. What's up, Tish Perez?
Oh, my gosh. Tish, yes. We love you. How are you? I wish you were here so that wasn't as awkward as it just came out.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
She's great. She always comments on all the episodes and stuff. So
sweetest part. Like, you could see a resident, like, flipping out, like, having a terrible. There was a resident there that would just. I don't know what it was. Like, dementia does fucked up things, man. Yes, it's just, it's awful. Yes, it does. And there was a person that would just go around, like, cleaning. And this is how smart Tish. She would give them, like, a little dusting cloth. And then it was just like, oh, my God. Why didn't we think about that? We were just like, there's nothing there. There's nothing. And she's like, if she wants to do it, let her do it.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, wow. And then my other friends were like, isn't that just a sneaky way out of get out of dusting? I'm like, no, she really did like love doing that task.
Right.
So that's how brilliant she was. Like she's, she is incredible. So, shout out to you. Yay, to Tish.
Salute, Tish.
in my water.
In Pueblo, that's where I stand up comedy. I worked at that club. That's where I first was in the room with it. There was a comic came by, and I can't even give the guy credit who wrote the joke, but it was basically the same thing. He bought his daughter, well, his wife bought his daughter a toy vacuum cleaner, and he was like, why fuck around, man? He bought an actual one, right? You know? So if you're going to do it right, you know? So along the lines, right?
There's Rosie Schuster used to write for SNL like in the 70s.
Yeah.
And she did this thing and she was telling people rejected ideas for SNL sketches. And they could never do this one because it was too graphic. But her and Gilda Radner came up with this. And it was rejected toys for Hanukkah. And it was getting Anne Frank a drum set.
That's horrible.
And they said they wanted Gilda Radner to play Anne Frank.
Wow.
And it was just like they couldn't do it because it was too crazy. Yeah. They were like, oh, that was like the favorite one that everybody was like, can we please do it? Yeah. They're like, no, you can't fucking do that.
We're going to get phone calls. That's crazy. Yeah, I like that. I like that story too. That was good stuff.
Yeah, that's as intense as it gets in terms of the criminal element.
It's all good, man.
God damn, that's
living in Pueblo, man. I'm from Brush, Colorado too. Maybe I lived a sheltered life here in Brush. I wasn't around any of that kind of shit.
Yeah,
I just didn't hang with that kind of crew. You know what I mean? So when I moved to Pueblo, I got a hell of an education because Pueblo's ghetto as shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's like L.A. light, I'd imagine. Not, you know, it's L.A.'s way more dangerous.
I've heard some crazy shit about Pueblo.
Oh, Pueblo's nuts. Yeah. Dude. Yeah, it's...
really good. Let me pick up this name I'm about to drop. Joey Diaz, of all people,
yes,
will always talk to me about Greeley, Colorado.
Yeah.
And he's like, great comedy scene. Great comedy scene. God, that town smells like shit, though, dog. I laugh. I go, you remember that? And he goes, oh, Eric Rocha, that's the smell of money.
Yeah.
And yeah. Like, yeah, but that's the, he goes, oh, yeah, that town stinks. And he said, he goes, I started comedy right around there.
Right.
And he said, he goes, I wouldn't call in for spots. I'd call in bomb threats. So, but yeah, dude, love it. So, anyways.
When you see him, you have to see if he remembers a Dave Testero. Who's a comic from here. Dave's been doing comedy for probably 40 years, forever.
Shit, yeah.
Whenever I get a call for a comic for a clean event, I always call Testro and hook him up with a gig. And I told him you were coming and you'd open for Joey Diaz. And he said Joey Diaz had opened for him a few times when he lived in Boulder. And he was telling me a story about this one time. Joey was in the opener. Some guy said something in the front row, and so Joey just kicked the shit out of him. Just walked into the audience and started fucking this dude up and his friend. Testro said that and his friend. They break it up, Joey leaves, and then here comes Dave to do the headline set. Sorry, dog. You have to ask him if
you're next comic.
Yeah.
Come to the stage.
Less likely to hit you.
Pulling teeth out of his fucking, like Tony Soprano. Pulling them out of his fucking pocket.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, you have to ask if he knows Dave Testro. Dave,
oh, yeah.
Dave loves him. He's
I'll call him after this, yeah.
He's got a ton of fucking Dave Testro or Joey Diaz stories, so... But yeah, I've listened to his podcast quite a bit. He's talking about Denver and all that.
Dude loves it out here. He almost moved back.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. Pandemic did weird shit.
Yeah, yeah.
There was like a mass exodus to either where they went back home or they went to Austin.
Yeah.
With Joe Rogan and yeah, man. I mean, it was a wild time.
In every way possible.
Yeah.
Not just that scene, every scene, man.
Dude.
The world changed.
I'm not mad at it because that upped my career big time.
Yeah.
But yeah. It was like, hey, we need some people. And I was like, yeah, fucking
we need comics. Everybody fucking left.
Eric Rocha? Is Eric Rocha here? You're up. You're like the guys in front of a Home Depot just looking for a job. I can do jokes.
Can I tell my joke with my back brace on?
Yeah. All right. All right. That was ripped off. Before we go into our second story, dude, we are going to take a slight moment away. We have a sponsor today. So check out Magic Bean Coffee Shop.
Hello. My name's Megan Orcutt. I'm the owner and operator at the Magic Bean Coffee House. We're located at the block on East 8th Avenue. We're open from Wednesday to Sunday, and we are open from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. We carry a variety of fresh, daily made pastries and donuts from Little Town Donuts and Sugar Beet Treats, made in the kitchen behind the coffee house for you. We offer all of your lattes, macchiatos, and mochas, as well as a fun monthly special. You can find us on all of our social media or at our website, themagicbean.com.
Yeah, that was Magic Bean Coffee Shop. Make sure you check them out. Like they said, family owned coffee shop there in Fort Morgan, Colorado at the old Steakhouse.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you have to check them out before you leave town.
Yeah.
Great people. Awesome. I work with her husband. He's a mechanic where I work. And crooked son of a bitch. Love you. Anyway.
Damn right. Good coffee, though.
No, they're the best people. I love them. I just give them shit. So, all right. We got two left. One for the road and Aunt Jenny. I think I know what one's about, so I'm going to go with the other one. Let's go for one for the road.
Okay. So I was working at a nursing home. I worked at a few. But when I got to L.A., I was working in a nursing home, and this headlining comedian moved their mother into our nursing home.
This was in L.A.?
Yes.
Okay.
This is right. in L.A. And so what ended up happening was it was dementia again. And yeah. But this one was a bit more mobile. And that's when it gets really hard.
Right.
So this person, the parent, had manipulated their daughter and said they need a list of my medications. So, you know, they got the list. And then she told us that I'm going on a trip with my daughter to Washington, D.C. Well, what ended up happening was this senior got an Uber, went to the fucking airport, and went to Washington, D.C. to help Hillary Clinton run for president. And so the next morning, this comic called our place and said, "Why the fuck am I getting credit card charges from Georgetown Hotel?" And our HR is like, "I really don't appreciate how you're speaking to me."
Right, right.
And this comic said, "You're really not going to appreciate it when I fucking own your building and throw you out."
Yeah.
I remember HR was like, "Will you come be a witness on this call?" And I'm yeah. like, "Is that..." And, you know, they said the comic's name. And I go, and I told my boss, I was like, "Something fuck..." And they were like, "Okay, yeah, this was like a sound the alarm. Not only have we lost this resident, they fucking made it across the United States of America." The yeah, right. they did it in the night. It's just like, the dementia is coming. Right, and right. it's just like, yeah, fucking across the United States. Stayed the night at a very nice hotel. And so I was talking to my boss and I said, "Listen, this is when I was in comedy. I was starting to get like footing where it was just yeah. like, okay, this person knew who I was."
Oh shit.
And so I told my boss, I go, "If somebody needs to go to Washington to get them, I will go.
Yeah.
We have got to get them back. We cannot lose this person, because not only will we lose resident..." I don't give a fuck about that. I'm going to lose my career before yeah. it even fucking starts.
Right.
So,
"Hey, can I open for you?" "Fuck no, you yeah. lost my mom."
Yeah. 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 "Fuck out of here, you fat little fuck." "I'm calling Larry Lindstrom. You're not going to fucking go That's down there right. either." Yeah, you.
"Hey, audience, you know what's worse than a motherfucker? A mother loser. That's what it is. You know what I mean?" Is this guy a big enough player to actually take on this retirement home? Is he?
Yeah.
You don't want to tell us his name. That's
oh,
fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Netflix specials, HBO specials. Okay. I mean, and of course, audience, I'm going to tell them right after. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm going to ask so, you that and the musician. Yeah. So.
So, hey, if you want to know who it is, you could buy tickets to the next show.
Yeah, that's right.
That they're that's doing right. And that's where they'll tell it.
You know who's going to ask me? Tish Perez.
Ah, yes. Yeah. And we'll call her right after.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So our regional boss tells me, "Hey, Eric, I really appreciate what you're trying to do." And I'm like, and this
right.
this idiot thinks I'm trying to get for better positioning in our company. And I'm like, "No, I don't give a fuck about you people. I want to make this comic happy."
Right.
So they go, "Well, it's not going to be necessary. You're okay. You're not going to Washington." Five people enter this boardroom, shut the door, okay? And I'm outside talking to HR. After about 2 minutes, regional boss comes out. He's like, "It's not going well. Would you really go to Washington?" And I went, "Yes. Yeah, I'm not bullshitting about it. We cannot fuck this up." "We already did fuck this up."
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, "So, so funny. This is the first time I've ever told this story." So he tells me, he goes, okay, I go, all right, I'll leave like in the morning. He goes, no, we got a red eye for you tonight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, okay. And I was like, I don't have a bag or anything, right? Because I'm like, I'm going to squeeze something out of this shit. So,
we
all right.
We got one of the janitors right now packing a bag at your house. He broke in. He broke in. He's packing you right now.
He'll meet you at the airport.
Chewy? Do we have it, Chewy?
Yeah.
He just talks and whistles. Yeah. No English, just whistles.
I go to it, cover on it. I go to it, yeah.
Ooh. So they give me a corporate card, and they said, anything you need, get her back. So I had a layover in fucking Chicago, and I mean, I slept on the airport floor, and it was brutal.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, fuck. So... here's something that they don't even know. I get to Washington, D.C., and I'm like, all right, take me here. And I'm looking. I'm like, oh, wow, there's the Lincoln Memorial. That's so, like, and I was really like,
yeah,
this is so fucking cool. Like, I love government and history and all that shit. Yeah. And I'm like, that is so cool. And the guy's like, we're right here. Do you want to stop? I'm like, oh, no, we can't. Like, no, we're fucked. No. Yeah. I'm on a mission that I'm already late for.
Yeah. Exactly. A selfie of me next to Abe over there might be a giveaway.
Yeah.
If they look at my Instagram story.
So, oh, yeah, there's all fucking eyes on me. Right? Yeah. So this is the one thing I rarely tell people. So I get dropped off at the destination. But before I go in, there's a bar across the street. And I'm like... fuck, I'm going to have one just because I need it. And I walked in, and they weren't even open yet. And I remember I fucking just pulled out a 50, and I was like, give me two shots and a beer, please.
Yeah.
And he was like, we're not. All right. Like, 50 spoke.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Bam, bam, bam. And I was like, one more beer. Got a nice little buzz. And I was like, okay, I'm ready. Walked in, and the resident was in the room. And by the way, when I walked in, they were like, are you Eric? And I'm like, yeah. And they go, yeah. We put a freeze on that room because what you didn't know was they were also an alcoholic, this person.
Oh, no.
So they had ordered like 4 bottles of wine from room service. And then they had sent back dinner like 3 times. And it was just outrageous shit like
that. Right.
And so they go, we are no longer delivering to that room, and we are asking you to get this person to leave. And I was like, okay, all right. And they go, yeah. So we've nixed the room service. And right then, this poor little gay kid's got all these muffins, and she's like, we have room service for her right here. And I go, we're not paying for that. Yeah, the manager's fine. Just take it. That's it. Just get her out. And I was like, okay, fine. Walk in the room with the little bellhop guy. And she's like, oh, you can just lay that on the... And she literally looks at me and she goes, oh, fuck. I'm not kidding. She goes, oh, fuck.
Like a kid that just like, got busted.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah.
And, oh, are you staying here too? Because, again, dementia does weird shit to you. She's like, oh, are you staying here too? I have a busy day, so I can't hang out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, we both have a busy day.
Yeah, you got a flight to catch.
Exactly. It is with me, bitch. Yeah. Fucking put something on. Yeah. So I'm like eating the muffin that, you know, I wasted. Fucking, and there's bottles of shit in the room. Like, there was spilling. Like, it was just like, in a fucking expensive hotel. And I was like, and they go, so who's going to, I was like, just invoice it. Yeah. Invoice it. Here's whatever. So I literally pack up everything and didn't want to leave. Now, here's the thing. Dementia or not, with resident rights, you cannot make someone do something they do not want to do.
Oh, wow.
That's legally is like, that's why there's a difference between a locked unit and a secured unit. Is if you push on a secured unit, it won't give, but after 10 seconds, it's got to open up.
Right.
So yes. That's a huge difference. So it's a resident rights issue. And they had told me, Eric, if this person doesn't want to go, I go, what am I supposed to do? They go, that's why we gave you the card. You got to get a hotel. And I'm like, how fucking long am I going to be here? This person doesn't want to leave.
That's what you tell her. Well, Hillary's doing a press conference in L.A. We gotta go.
That's the thing. So I was like, I gotta go. So can you at least ride with me back to the airport so I can? Because I don't know the way.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, oh well, Uber's got that taken care of. I'm like, fuck. Like, what parts of the brain haven't been affected? Like, give me a rule book here. Right, like, yeah, right. I need to know the rules. And I was like, please just come with me. And she's like, well, I want to get something to eat first. We've never eaten at a nice place. And I'm like, that we can do. Because I'm like, yeah, I got the card.
Yeah, I got the gold card.
I'm like, yeah. So, eat an amazing dinner. Yeah. Like, it was so fucking good. Yeah. I was like, oh, fuck, this is awesome. Like, I've never eaten like
that's when the
this.
Bill comes. It's $800.
Like, oh, here, let me sign for that.
Yeah.
So, eat an amazing meal. You know, and we're heading to the airport, and we get there, and the resident goes, all right, well, have a good flight. Take care. And I go, you got to come with me, though, because I can't just leave you here at the airport. Plus, our Uber just left. And she's like, oh, well, I'll just get another one. And by the grace of God, her phone was dead. And I was like, well, how are you going to do that? And so I'm getting calls from said comic. Right. I'm getting calls from regional. I'm getting calls from my boss. Everybody's like, what the fuck is the progress? Where are we with this? And I answer the phone, talk to the regional boss. I'm like, I am at the airport. She's refusing to get on the fucking plane.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, then just get a hotel in the area. And I'm like, fuck. God damn, like, I'm really mad because I'm like, fuck, man. Like, I don't want to be stuck. Like, I don't even know what I'm. What if she sneaks out when I'm asleep? Like, shit.
What if she's in Detroit tomorrow?
Exactly. Well, you said Hillary Clinton was in L.A. Like, ah, fuck. Like, you fucked me on that one, too. Yeah,
she shows back up. They're like, where's Eric? I don't know.
Jesus. I'm fighting some gang member with like a fucking tuna can. Just leave me alone. So I'm like, fuck. And so I go, maybe if we call said comic and they talk to this person, we can convince them. Okay. And I had this person's number, called them, and I said, hey, this is what we're trying. Okay, just let me talk. Okay. I'll give you the abbreviated version. Oh, well, that's a great thing to say to me. Yeah? Well, I wish you were dead too. And they throw my phone on the phone. I go, that's my fucking phone! And I hang up. I was like, oh, shit. So things are not going well with the family. And I'm like, God damn it. So the next thing you know, I can't get her on the plane. But I remembered all those bottles of wine. I remember this person was an alcoholic.
Right.
And there was a little Maggiano's at the airport just past security. And you could see it. It was like a fucking, like that John Panette line, there was an angel above it. With the cork.
Yeah.
A golden cork. And the regionals are flipping out because of what just happened, and I'm just like, oh, fuck. Like, they're worried they're going to get sued and all right. of this other shit. And so I call my regional, and I go, I have a question. I go, I cannot force her to get on this plane, right? And they go, yeah, you can't. Just get a hotel. And I go, but that said, if this person wants to drink a bottle of wine, I can't stop them either. And somebody in that room goes, absolutely not. Absolutely not. We are in enough. And they go, Eric, yes, you're right. That one regional is the only person thinking outside the fucking box.
Yeah.
And I go, let me call you in 10 minutes. And so hang up the phone. And here's the thing. I might be lying about this. I might not be, for legal reasons. This is what I told that person. And it could be a joke. It might not be. You don't know. All right? This is what I tell the said resident. I said, no bullshit. If you go through security, I will buy you a bottle of wine. And you can drink as much of it as you want. I don't give a shit. I want to go home. And if you want that bottle of wine, I'll buy it.
Yeah.
I showed the card. This resident looked at me, and I don't know if they put their dementia down like a football and went, no bullshit. Literally, no bullshit.
Yeah.
And I go, I swear. Starts going to security. Get them through security. Two bottles of wine later, we're waiting for the flight. And I'm trying to drink. I don't like wine because it gives me a bad fucking headache, yeah, right? Yeah, all the sugar shit. So I'm trying to drink as much of it as I can. And by the way, I got a really good dinner out of that, too. I'm eating like a fucking... I probably gained like 5 pounds on that trip.
Worth it.
Oh, yeah, worth absolutely. And I'm just exhausted because, remember, I was sleeping in that fucking airport, too.
Yeah.
I'm tired, and I'm like, just get on the fucking plane, like chloroform. Like, shit. Yeah. She's dead tired. Like, whatever the fuck I got to do. So, again, though, those alcoholics retain that fucking tolerance for a while, man. Oh, I was just like, just drink and drink, drink. So... We get to the gate. I'm like, just God, please get us on the flight, okay? And I'm fucking buzzed hard, so I'm pushing around, bumping around the shit accidentally. Oh, sorry. Watch where the fuck you're going. Sorry. Should not be driving another person.
Yeah.
So we get on the plane, and I pick this person up, put him in the chair, and it was so, like, that's probably one of the best 7-minute naps I've ever had, because I just slept. I just fell into it. And then I feel a nudge, and I'm like, what the fuck now? Resident's pointing at the screen, because it was a Virgin airline. So pointing at the screen, I'm like, oh, I want to watch a fucking movie or TV. Yeah. So I just swipe the card. I'm like, whatever you watch, whatever you want. Sleep again. Get another nudge. And the fucking flight attendant is bringing over a little bottle of wine. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So, you want some? Now we're like cohorts. Like, yeah, let's get fucked up. Let's do this every weekend. So I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And I'm trying to guzzle as much of it as I can to keep her from getting. Because again, I don't know what kind of meds this person has. Like, it could counteract with whatever the fuck they're drinking. And I'm like, please don't die on this plane.
Just ask her for that list that she got from...
You're going to finish the story, but here's how I'm hoping it goes. I'm hoping she's playing you getting you shit-faced to escape. When your ass passes out with steak sauce on your cheek, she's like, later, fucker.
She's going to go, here's his med list.
She'll be gone. She'll have your corporate card. They'll be like, Eric, why are we getting charges from Atlanta? Because that's where the Clintons are.
She meets up with George Clooney and the other Ocean's 11. Get rid of the fat man. I just pretend to be asleep. We get back to L.A. late that night. My boss picks us up, and I said, I'm not going to be back at work for 3 days. So I got 3 days time off, bullshit. Like, we never talked about it. It was one of those things, like, okay, we'll see you in 3 days.
Yeah.
And on the way home, I called the said comic, and I said, hey, so we got them back. Everything's okay. I'm sorry for what happened. And they were like, you are an angel. You are the only good thing about that place. I love you. And I was like, thank you so much.
Nice. Very cool.
So from the time you left to the time you got back to LA, how much was it like?
It had to be over 24 hours just because I had to, like, it was O'Hare Airport.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it was me sleeping on the floor there because those chairs were like metal.
Yeah.
And you can't really like lay down.
No.
So Just in case you were trying to Sherlock Holmes me with that fucking question.
Well, I was just curious. I mean, that's a lot of shit to happen in like 36 hours or whatever was. But
kind of. I mean, it's yeah, yeah. Once again, my story's not even close to yours, but in Pueblo, I dated a girl who was a nurse at a retirement home. So every now and again, I go take her lunch or whatever. You know, and I used to be a smoker.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting on the patio, and I got our lunch there, and I'm smoking a cigarette, and this old lady's kind of bummed out. And I said, "What's the matter?" And she's like, "My son doesn't come today. I don't have a lighter. You know, he's going to bring me one. He hasn't shown up." I go, "Oh, shit, take my lighter." Right? And she's like, "Thank you, thank you." You know, smoke it up. And so Jen comes down and she sits down and she's the smoker too. She's like, "You got a light?" I go, "No." She's like, "How'd you light yours?" I go, "Well, I had a lighter, but I let that lady have it." She's like, What lady?" I go, "That nice old lady. I let her." She's like, "They can't have fucking lighters. What's wrong with you, man? They'll burn the place down." So she's like, "What does she look like?" "She's a white lady with gray hair." I don't know, you know.
In a nightgown.
So I had to go snitch on this lady, bud. And it was the most awkward thing because we were walking down the hall. No. Oh, yeah, that's her. Dude, she was mad. She said, "I don't have your lighter. I'm not a thief." I'm like, "I gave it to her. She didn't thief, you know." But yeah, they had to fucking search her shit and find it because I didn't know they're not supposed to have lighters. By the way, they're not supposed to have lighters.
She's got that rag in your gas tank like fucking no coffee for old men. I'm going to create a diversion and we're all going to get out of this motherfucker.
She calls your resident. "I got the escape plan.
Boy, in D.C. Boy, these racist mascots are so gullible."
She goes, "You're right. Chubby brown bastards from Brooks, Colorado are stupid.
Boy, those country bumpkins are dumb.
You meet someone from Beat Digger Land. Pull the wool over their eyes. It's not hard, you know?" That's
fucking true. No, I said digger. Digger.
Yeah. That's racist. That's hilarious. She's like, "Well, I didn't say it. I didn't say it.
Then they go off on that. That's how they get caught.
As a hate crime. What'd you think that would vote?
That was another good one.
That was a great story, man. I'm hoping that one's true because that's a great story. That's a great story. It's one of those things you'll never forget, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? That was pretty ballsy of you to do that because that could have went south real fucking easy.
Oh, yeah.
Man,
It was trouble the whole fucking time. Like I said, it's a fun story, but at the time, the one thing in that story you can't really tell is how tired you are.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you don't get a good night's sleep, mm-hmm. you're just like, you're fucking dead. It's just ugh.
Dude, I can only imagine not getting sleep and then having to deal with that once you got to D.C. and just...
I'm telling you, though, like, you know in those old, like in The Godfather, when he's like, "People are crying, but you had to have your drink for..." I completely understand... Like, why in those old days where they were like, "Oh, he got shot with a bull. Give him some whiskey." Like, there was something about getting that buzz before going into the thing where I was like, "Oh, yeah, that makes absolute sense." It does take an edge off. Right. So, which takes us back to our...
Speaking of there, there you go, buddy.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, you haven't disappointed, Eric. I'm so glad you're here. This is awesome.
No, thank you, guys.
Yeah. So what? Yeah, you liked it?
Oh yeah. That was a good story.
That's a great story. That's a great story. Now I'm super curious to know who the comic is, but you don't get to know. I'm sorry.
But Tish won't.
So what you need to do is you need to walk up to Tish at the show on Saturday and just say, "Remember this name." And no, that's it. Remember this name and give her the name, and she'll be like, "What the hell?"
That's such just a great idea.
Remember this name.
I'm gonna write it in one of those things. I would just give it to her.
It'll make sense eventually. You know what?
I'll have a waitress do it like some James Bond shit. Yeah. Look under your napkin from the fat man at the table.
Bill Cosby's here? He's like, "I don't know."
"Oh, no, not that. Let's go to another table."
Along with a free drink. All right.
She slaps them. Yeah. "Don't drink that."
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, two down, one to go, man. Let's keep this train rolling. We have Aunt Jenny.
Okay. So Aunt Jenny is Gerard's mother. Aunt Jenny was like my first real like female hero because she was just she was so sweet and kind, Like, oh, honey, like if you ever showed up at her house, oh, honey, come eat. She always had fucking beans and like her stove was always on low heat because there was just food simmering there all day. And people would come and eat and she would feed everybody. So my mom, like where we live with my grandparents, we would always have like zucchini, cucumber. Grandma had a green thumb. So whenever we had a lot of vegetables, we would take them to Aunt Jenny's house. So I'm taking shit to Aunt Jenny's house. I was probably like 14 and I got like the bag and I had like a little goatee and shit. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. So I'm driving by the middle school and I'm trying to, there's so like, there's a lot of people here, but there's family that I'm like, I wave to this person, you know, and this person, was a bit of a womanizer, so you know they were cheating. I guess it would be a womanizer. This chick banged a lot of guys. All right. Okay.
Family or not family?
No. Just another, no. Yeah. Okay. It was friends of the family.
Okay.
So next thing I know, a car pulls up in front of my bike and wants to kick the shit out of me, and I'm not a fighter.
Right.
And this guy thought I was fucking his wife. Yep. And all I was doing was I just brought vegetables. But yeah, exactly. And I was just like, I'm riding a bike. Yeah. Like, why would I? Yeah, I'm going to plow some pussy in. Yeah, I'm going to put some cards in my spokes. So what it's like the Batmobile.
What she does with the cucumbers up her hair. I don't judge, man. We don't kink shame here at the Rotel, okay? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, judging on that, I'm sure she could handle it if that's the kind of fucking woman she was.
Yeah.
But if you've ever had like a grown man threaten you, it's fucking scary, man. Like, especially for as raging as this guy was, like, you could tell that this wasn't about me, but easily I could have died in like, he didn't give a fuck. Like, just, and I was so like fucking just, I didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Yeah.
So anyways, come back home and I'll be honest. I was like, I was crying.
Yeah.
And I was like, cause it was fucking terrifying. Right. Aunt Jenny hears about this cause she was over and Aunt Jenny beat the fuck out of this person.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, like, this was before, like, people got arrested for that shit.
Right.
Like, because they wouldn't tell. Like, those old Southside Mexican families didn't rat on each other. They were just fucking, they were brutal.
Well, also, I'm going to ask you, how many kids did Aunt Jenny have?
Oh, yeah. She had fucking, like, 12, 13.
This woman's got a pain tolerance, obviously. You know what I mean? This ain't the first ass she's had to whip for nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah.
So she beat the fuck out of this person. And then one day, so-and-so has something to say to you. And legit, like, it wasn't like in the movies you would see, but you could see, like, I wanted to apologize. And, you know, I had no business talking to you that way. And she's like, fucking right you didn't. And it was just like, okay, like, and it was like, it was just as awkward as Aunt Jenny was like, and it was like Aunt Jenny teaching improv. And this guy was like, he didn't know what to say, and I felt bad too because it was like, Aunt Jenny, this guy, it's an obvious, like, I picked the wrong dude. I shouldn't have got as heated, but God, I wish my wife would stop fucking other people. And Aunt Jenny didn't give a fuck, though.
Yeah.
And she was like, never again. Never again.
Yeah.
And then it was like, okay, mijo, go play.
Like nothing
There's
happened.
Food in the house. Did you eat? You're wasting away. But that was Gerard's mom, and that was Aunt Jenny. She was a fucking badass.
That's so awesome.
Cheers to Aunt Jenny too. Yeah.
Is Aunt Jenny still around?
She passed away. Yeah.
I'm sorry. She's,
to hear that.
We'll
do one for Aunt Jenny. Hey, and Gerard. Hey. Aunt
Jenny. Because Sheree Chavez, her daughter lives.
That's her mom.
I didn't realize how many there were until Sheree told me that last comedy show.
Yep.
you know, that there was so many in that family, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The Gerard, and he's the youngest, right?
Gerard was the baby, and he fucking let everybody know it, too.
Yeah. I have an Aunt Ruth like that, my great aunt really? Ruth. She lives in Bessemer in Pueblo. It's over, it's on the south side. It's a family home since, I think my grandma and her bought it in like the 30s or something. It was, you know.
Oh, wow.
But she would just go on the porch and yell at these cholos and shit. And I'm like, you are going to get, hey, Aunt Ruthie, I can't protect you. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, those guys, them boys don't play, but.
They got, see those tattoos on their neck?
Yeah.
That are spelled wrong, but yeah. They mean business.
No one thought of an S ever. Everything's really? Got a Z on it. Yeah, no
life is spelled with a Y.
Yeah. And my Aunt Ruth also always fed people.
And that's the thing, though, is like, I honestly believe growing up, like, those were the first real feminists that, like, we came across, where it was just like, oh, yeah, like, don't fuck with this person because they'll fight you back.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Yeah, like, that was back when, like, even I heard stories that are like, her brothers would be like, get the fuck out of her, and she'd be like, make me. And be like, ah, oh, fuck it, all right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, because if you, like, back in the day, like, when they would hit women, some of those fucking women hit back.
Yeah.
And it was like, God damn.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Well,
but back in the day, though, they also struggled more.
Yeah.
Women struggled more.
Oh,
so,
fuck yeah.
I mean, Aunt Jenny probably put up a lot of bullshit in her
and
life.
And your Aunt Ruth.
Auntie Ruthie.
Yeah.
But she would, it's funny, when she would come to the house, or you go to the house, she'd say, do you want to eat? And if you were hungry, if you said, I'm okay, you don't like my cooking. No, Auntie, I'm just not hungry. Yeah. She goes, you don't like my cooking, you know? And so when I had friends that go over there, I'd be like, if she offers you food, just take the damn food. Yeah. And they were like, yeah, your aunt's a great cook.
Yeah.
You think we like you, fucker? No, we come over friends to feed us, you know?
Yeah. Go to your room, Larry.
My grandma was the same way, you know?
Yeah, dude.
I'd wake up and Mac Deal, one of my best friends next door, be eating breakfast at my house. Like, you work here or what's the deal? You know, like, she'd feed because he was so skinny. It drove him crazy, you know? Lawrence is well fed. Look at Lawrence. You know, social services ain't going to come bother us, you know?
But that's so incredible. Like, there is something to that where it's just like, To deny their food is an insult. Like, why would you do that? And you're like, I just don't.
Yeah, and they start making shit out of everything, right? I mean, just, they got some of the pantry.
Incredible. So.
You got family like that? Don't show us.
Oh, no, I'm just looking for
No, my grandma would cook every now and then and stuff, but.
Maybe it's a Hispanic thing, I guess. Maybe
Well, I didn't grow up around a whole lot of family either, so.
Yeah. I've always said that about grandmothers. They don't, they just.
All right, Boo Radley, thanks for bringing us Detna.
I'm the minority here. I'm the redneck.
No, there's 1.5 and 1.5 at this table, so we're all equal.
Mom, order two sopapillas. we're making a friend.
Yeah, that's great. What do you think about that one?
That was another good one. I like that.
I hope that one's true. That may be my favorite. I like those family stories. I like those stories of growing up, you know, and how family looks out for each other.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it is, like I said, it's that cooking thing and that silly thing of, like, rejecting food is the ultimate sin.
Yeah. I won't get into it too far. I've told the story many times about when I met my dad. And the first time he stood me up and I was upset.
Fuck.
And I remember coming back to Aunt Ruth's house. And I'd waited for him for like 7 hours, right? And I walked in the back room and I was upset. And my Uncle Ed, man, he was... Let's go look for him. And I'm Ed was going to whip his ass, dude. It was like, that's just what it was.
It's almost that, like, it transcends you almost, where it's just like, no, we need to take, I need to take care of this. It's just like, fuck, man.
He's going to start rallying the troops. They don't know where he lives, but they're going to find his ass, you know?
And, hey, that like, fucking good for, like, hey, that thing, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that.
Go back and play your Nintendo.
Your dad, don't worry about it. Don't worry.
Go cry on your big pillow. You're fine. So, okay.
Larry's dad's wigs don't fall off.
That's awesome. All right. Well, you got one in mind, folks?
I do.
So do I, actually. Kind of have one in mind. So, Eric, what we do is we rock, paper, scissors to see who has to guess first.
Okay.
How do you rock, paper, scissors, man?
Is this going to turn into an orgy? What do you mean?
Yes. That's why there's plastic on the wall, right, my friend.
Well, I figure. Well, I've been in L.A. Let's do this. is it 1, 2, 3? Or how? What are we talking about?
Yeah, like if you were playing, how would you
rock paper scissors?
The three pumper.
Yeah.
That's three pumpers and four pumpers. Did you know there's two different ways to do it?
Damn diggers.
You can remember the diggers because they actually got the big D. Okay, that's
yes.
But some people
don't do it right. But anyway,
some people do the rock paper scissors shoot.
Oh yeah,
yeah. No,
we never did the shoot.
Garbage, thank you.
We don't. Who has time?
Who's got time for the extra pump? Three. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Good at success. All right, buddy. We got three great stories. Ripped off, one for the road, and Aunt Jenny. What are you thinking?
Well, I initially was thinking ripped off. But then I heard that one for the road story, and there's a lot of places in there where shit could get changed. Aunt Jenny, I'm pretty sure that one's, that sounded pretty true and realistic. So I'm going to go with one for the road, just because I'm not saying it didn't happen at all, but I'm thinking there might be something in there.
Embellished that, or something.
Yeah, something's a little embellished.
Changed. Okay, all right. I have a different thought process. I think that's a true story. I'm hoping it is, just by the way you told it and the passion you had when you told it, man. A lot of detail in that, and I think that's – when I started this podcast, everybody's got the one story they love to tell. Right? Well, you never told anybody that story till now.
Yeah.
So maybe that is it because
Well, hang on. That's the story that I'll be honest. That's the story that two podcasts have been like, I want you on to tell that story. And I was like, it's not worth that to me.
Yeah.
Because they wanted names, and I'm like, I'm not giving fucking names.
I'm gonna do a podcast out in Brush, Colorado. Nobody listens to. That's what.
With you guys, the names are protected, so I'm good. They wanted fucking names.
Yeah, well, I'm sure.
And there was the monetary part. Shit, and I'm like, yeah, it's not worth my career.
Yeah,
fuck you. Right? Yeah,
yeah. No, there's a lot of detail. I think that's a very true story. I think Aunt Jenny. I think it's a true. I want it to be true. I think that's a great story. I really do like that story. I think Ripped Off is the story, and I think that's the story because it had the least amount of real generic detail, I'd almost say. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know. I think just it, to me, that seems like the one that would be the most easy to make up. Or mm-hmm. just kind of on the fly be like, okay, some of it might be true. You and your musician friend might have, doing the cocaine or whatever, but mm-hmm. There's something to that one. So that's what I say. Before you flip that over, though, I do want to say thank you to the Brush Emporium for giving us a place to have a podcast studio to do our podcast down here. They've been very understanding, very, very generous. I mean, there's been some horrible things said on here. They still let us do it. But they've been awesome about everything. This is the first time you've been here, Eric.
Yeah.
Because this is probably something different when you were here.
It was a
country store or something.
Pharmacy. It was it was a bakery.
But they give a shit. Upstairs, if you go upstairs, they have a bunch of wares, local people, local vendors making stuff to sell. It gives them a place to sell their stuff. They have great pizza, great wings, great everything here. So come downtown. 210 Clayton Street. Check out the Brush Emporium. They even have old school board games up there, man. So if you want
to
come in with mom and the family,
yeah, play this a little place is awesome. Ladder,
yeah, it's a great place, man. And they've been very cool about letting us do whatever we want down here.
And we can have beer here too.
Yeah. They don't know that. They don't know that. No, I'm kidding.
Been drinking out of a blur the whole time.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
This terrible Asian porno. It's horribly pixelated. Is he sucking a dick or drinking a beer?
It's got some silver shit on it. You get that guy checked out, but
whatever it is, he loves it. Jesus.
But they've been so awesome, so please support them because they support us, man. I can't say enough good things about the Brush Emporium. So what else, man?
And then if you're watching this on YouTube, go ahead and click the subscribe button. It's a small click for you, but a big click for us.
Huge click for us, man. Bottom right-hand corner of the screen, little red dot. And right now, if you're watching this on YouTube, in the comments below, tell us which one you think it is, man. It'd be fun to watch. Tish always does. So does Susan Koser. What's up, Susan Koser, you badass? So anyway, having said that, I'm taking Ripped Off. You're taking?
One for the road.
Let's see. It's probably Aunt Jenny.
All right.
Stab you, I swear to God. What's not true about that?
So it actually happened to my mother.
Really?
Yeah, that was a borrowed story. She was taking the vegetables to my Aunt Jenny, and as she was riding her bike there, she waved to the guy, and it was actually the chick that got in her car and chased my mother down, because if you know anything about my mom, she got her license late in life. So
okay.
what ended up happening was she was just riding her bike, taking vegetables to my Aunt Jenny's house. Car got in front and said, "You little fucking bitch, you stay away from my husband." Oh my God. And my mom was like, "What are you talking?" But I mean, mom told me all the details. She's like, "Son, it's weird when you're a kid and an adult threatens to kick your ass. Yeah, yeah. It's just so like you're just so not ready. Like, why is that adult so angry at me?" Yeah, yeah. And she said she got to Aunt Jenny's house to deliver the vegetables, and she could visibly see that my mom was upset. She was like, "Honey, what happened?"
Yeah,
and she was like, "Well, this lady threatened me," and okay, fucking. Keys, yeah. You know what I mean? Oh, eat. Like, yeah. You know, the one time she didn't make it. The one time she didn't make a play. Yeah, and then yeah, she fucked this lady up. That's why I was, I thought for sure, I'm like, because I was talking with this all the way through with my mother.
Yeah.
Because I was getting the little details
yeah.
of it. And I was like, they're never going to fucking believe that this is. Yeah,
you'd be shocked how gullible we are, Eric. I fall for heartfelt stories a lot, though, on this. Now, that's a good way to get me. So Ripped Off is a true story.
Yes. You okay? There's a lot of details I left out just because I don't know what your listeners can stand to hear,
yeah.
But there was some pretty crazy stuff before that
yeah.
that little pickup and after that pickup where it was like, okay.
Maybe
like,
next time.
Yes.
Next
no. Time Anyways, guys, thank you so much for having me. Like this is really like something cool where I'm like,
yeah.
Fuck, I can't believe I'm on one of these episodes. It's cool. I'm gonna look on there and be like, fuck it, I was on a podcast where John Beltran was. Like, yeah, this is so cool. Which, by the way, that guy never fucking interviewed me, and I did sports my whole life here, really? And I was like, I just want to talk to John Beltran. He's like, okay, we're gonna talk to somebody that's not Eric Rocha. And I was like, what the fuck? I sacked the guy. And he's like, all right, coach, now what do you think about that last minute sack by Eric Rocha? And I was like, oh, come on, Beltran. Fucking love you.
John Beltran's awesome. He's a hell of a good dude.
He is. That's why I was so fucking, same thing, like I never got coached by Larry Mills.
Right.
After I graduated, he comes out of retirement to coach again. And I was like,
what year did you graduate?
I graduated 2004.
Oh, wow.
And then he fucking comes back like the next year and he's like, I'm gonna go ahead and teach his kids. And I'm like, fuck,
why could you have held me
come
back
on Larry here? Legend. Yeah. Him and Beltran are in a room with the rest of the fuck Eric Rocha people and they're like, let's really get him.
They got a name of that list of everybody's names. They threw a dart and they're who we fucking Eric Rocha.
Exactly. It's a love hate thing. Just like, I love those guys. Yeah. Like, God damn, you ask him.
So Eric Rocha, they're like, who?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know who that little prick is.
I saw his name on a program.
I like to say Roca because it gets him angry. I don't know why he turned him into fucking Kennedy.
I don't know.
Sorry, John.
Because you can't do John Beltran's voice. Nobody can.
No.
Before we go, though, one of the four of the road is a true story also, then.
Absolutely. I'll tell you the comic.
Yeah, after we're done.
After the show.
Yeah, for sure. That's an awesome story, man. That's one of my favorites, So far, so good. But we're going to wrap this up because they're going to be closing here pretty soon because it's past 6 o'clock. They're counting the seconds. Like, hurry up, you bastards. But, man, it's been awesome. I'm excited for the show this weekend.
Absolutely, man. I'm excited, guys.
I'm excited for you, man. I think this is cool. I respect the shit out of what you do. You're a guy who moved to the biggest pool in the world for comics.
Oh, man.
And you're going for it. I respect the hell. I think that's awesome, man.
That means a lot, man. Thank you.
Thank God.
You're coming to LA. You got to promise me on your show.
I will be coming to do a tour of the store with you.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Greatest comedy club in the world, yeah. And we're going to give you the royal treatment.
Yeah.
I swear.
I might bring this guy too.
Absolutely. Just come on down.
You'll be like, who?
Yeah.
you'll Beltran me. Yeah. Who the fuck is this?
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to turn that into a verb.
I got Beltran.
Like, when you really want the acknowledgement by somebody you respect, and they're like, okay, if you'll just get out of my way.
You know, he might have done something like weird and Quimby. Sexual at one point in time, and they called that Beltranning, and he doesn't know that we don't know. So he's like, they don't know. They don't know. Do they? They don't know.
That used to mean a fish hook during doggy style, but okay. I like this one better. It's more respect. I'm Mayor Quimby now.
You need to stop. All right. Well, once again, It's been an honor to have you here, Matt.
To you guys, man. And sincerely, you, thank you so much. Wait. I'll fist bump you because of Bella.
Hey, I'm Lewis Lundstrom.
I'm Adam Oakey.
Hey, we'll catch you next time. Please.